Welcome to the Analog Assault Podcast. Buckle up for some large explosions and some great nerd talk. Let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
Welcome everyone to episode 2 of the Analog Assault Podcast, season 2. So it's like 22. We're on 22. Does that count? Or is that just weird math?
2.2.
Two train.
2.2. Yeah.
So we got all our hosts here with us tonight. We got Rad, we got Crow, we got Prime, we got Lupo. What's up, guys?
Ooh, what's up?
So we're going to start this, and I'm going to throw you a curveball, because instead of the, on the clock, what you've been doing, what you've been playing for 3 minutes, we're going down to 2 minutes. We're going to two. Going to two. So Lupo,
today.
You're from New York. Notes. You can talk fast, right?
Lupo, still at the advantage.
Yeah. So we're going to do 2 minutes, the first segment on the clock, and the first person that we're going to go with is going to be Rad. Rad, you're on the clock.
Radical's on the clock. What's going on, everybody? It's me, Radical. I'm here supporting Cerberus. I know what happens to Cerberus, but I'm currently playing Mass Effect 2, and I love Cerberus. So that kind of sums up what I've been playing. I did hop into Destiny a couple times this week just to like see what was going on. I am waiting for Lost Sectors with boots to become available. And that's what I will be doing in Destiny this week. But I have been trucking through Mass Effect. I finished Mass Effect 1 pretty quickly, but I did a lot in it, stuff I've never done before. We'll talk about it later. I have not watched anything this week except for sports. The Rays have swept the Mets and the Orioles back-to-back. The Lightning are up 2-0 on the Florida Panthers. And I'm jumping back to gaming for a second. I hopped into Apex Legends, bought myself the Valkyrie Legends pack. So I have a slick new Valkyrie pack. So nice. When I jump back into Apex, I'm going to look super fly. Pun intended. That's all I got.
Dude, you didn't even need 2 minutes, Rad. Like, you had 56 seconds left. No buzzer.
I said last week, I watched Gilmore Girls. When you watch Gilmore Girls, you learn how to talk really, really fast.
Really, really fast.
That's right.
All right. Well, next on the clock is Mr. Primetime. Go.
Well, I can tell you right now, it's not going to be 2 minutes. But oh, my God. I set myself up for that one.
I'm going to buzzer you just.
Okay. Get done.
The more rounds you get, the better it is. Anyway, so Mass Effect, putting in some time for that as much as I can, and it kills me on social media and Discord when I see people like, oh, I'm already on Mass Effect 2, and I'm still
mule.
doing mule.
Oh, I hit it hard, man. I hit it hard. What can I say?
Anyway, so I mean, it's been a great experience playing it the first time. I absolutely love it, and so I'll gush more about it later, but I am so glad that I'm playing it now, and kind of glad I didn't play it before. So now I get experience in full glory. Photo mode's awesome. So I haven't really had a whole lot of time, so I haven't got too far in it. But TV-wise, I finished up Vim, and started watching the Castlevania. I think it's season 3.
Four.
Unless you missed 3.
And it's really good. I still love that series. I think I'm going to start doing Juniper's Legacy next on series-wise on TV. My kid's getting braces finally, so I'll be crashing and ride for this.
Oh, snap.
We tried to do it this week and showed up and at the hospital and no staff's there pretty much because of the giant storm that came through Houston. All the nurses stayed overnight and no day staff came, and I wasted my trip. So we're doing round 2 in the morning.
Did you at least take off work?
Oh, yeah. I took off work.
Did you go back to work?
I went back to work, so I'm making it up tomorrow. They're flexible at work.
Hey, I got him talking longer.
He purposely.
I was doing it twice. I wanted to hit the buzzer.
Our right first on. Buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up is Lupo. You're on the clock.
Oh, okay. So I started my weekend by playing Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I did start Mass Effect 1. Taking my time with it this time, you know. I feel like I've played through it 3 or 4 times before this, and I still feel like there's things that I'm seeing for the first time. I'm trying to get every achievement, so I'm like, I think 28 achievements or something like that through right now, and I haven't even got to Vermeier yet, which is kind of like your 2/3 mark, I would say. And so I'm somewhere between halfway and 2/3, about 24 hours in or so. Nice. And just really, really enjoying the game. Like the graphical improvements are really incredible. The system is streamlined. I feel like combat is so much better, and playing on PC is just like a new experience, because like, you know, Mule made a big deal, like, oh, I can't do my hot buttons, you know, like PC, you got everything, and everything like is cool down independently. So it's a completely different experience playing on PC as compared to Xbox. So I've been really enjoying that. As far as other games, I did jump into the PSO2 New Genesis beta for a little bit on Saturday. And I was really impressed with that as well. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit when Crow's up. Destiny, of course, new season started last week, so doing more of that. New reprise raid content coming this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to that, because Vault of Glass is just such an incredible raid, and I'm super stoked. We'll talk more about that later as well. And then as far as I jumped into Apex too. I've been playing a bunch of Apex as well. Anytime I feel like to sweat a little bit, I play some Apex.
Yeah.
Don't cut me off yet. I got like 45 seconds, I think.
You got 18 seconds.
And then watching, I finished up a couple animes, Log Horizon, Jujutsu Kaisen, and ReZero. Watched this week's episode of My Hero Academia, and I finished season 4 of Castlevania. Boom.
GG with 3 seconds to spare.
Well done.
Right, you almost on. Did what I did and watched the stream clock.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said 45. I was like, oh, looking at it. It's like, oh, it's a couple seconds off.
Yeah. Well, you forgot to say about how y'all complained I was stealing your kills in Apex, but that's not like a thing in Apex, you know.
Oh, a little bit.
I'm just saying.
I didn't say necessarily you were stealing. Like, I was just surprised you got so many and I had so little.
I'll never complain about you stealing kills. I'll just complain about you stealing loot.
That's a thing.
That is very much a thing.
Pretty fair. We played last night. You were being pretty fair about the loot.
Yeah, I was trying. So next up on the clock is Scarecrow. Go!
All right, so I'm going to start with what I watched, because that's a little bit shorter. Started and binged the whole season 4 of Castlevania in one sitting.
Nice.
I love that show. Like, every time that comes on, every time they make a new one, I just love it. I was playing some games while watching the first few episodes, and then I was like, nope, I gotta stop playing this. I gotta actually watch and pay attention.
Yeah.
Watched this last week's episode, Bad Batch. Another good episode. I like where it's going. And then something I forgot to mention last week, but I watched the Demon Slayer movie. I haven't seen too many anime movies, but this was the third one, and boy, just, it carries over so well with the show. They just do so well with the art. Like, that show is just beautiful on some of its stuff. And I'm sure there's going to be tons of memes come out from that movie once it actually people get to see it. So I've already seen a few. Other than that, I haven't played anything or watched anything else. Playing-wise, I spent a lot of hours in the NGS beta this weekend, which I'm going to talk about later more in depth. Destiny 2, been grinding that. Got all my characters ready for Vault of Glass this weekend. Played a bit of Craftopia. I'm still playing that a little bit. More Genshin, had a new character drop this week, pretty fun. And last night, got into a little bit of Apex Legends with Lupo and Mule.
Yeah. And,
definitely died, I think I died more times to me falling off the map than actually being killed.
Yep.
There were definitely some times where I'm like, oh, I'm going to jump over here. Nope.
Yeah. Right on. Well, you had 10 seconds to spare, man. Good job. I'm actually impressed. Ooh. I'm impressed. All right. the last on the clock, I guess, is myself. Go. Yeah. Apex. I mean, Mass Effect, obviously. I've been playing a crap ton of Mass Effect. That's really almost all I've been playing exclusively. I played a little bit of Star Wars Battlefront here and there, just because, you know, I'm a Star Wars guy and I gotta get a little bit of fix. Yeah, I've been Mass Effect. I hit it hard. I think I had about, I think total right now I have like 22 hours, 21 hours in Mass Effect 1, and then I've just started Mass Effect 2. So chugging along pretty good. I really screwed up though, guys, like royally screwed up. And I went to Vermeier too soon.
You killed Rex.
And I didn't have the option to do any of the other dialogues. I couldn't do it. They were grayed out. And I couldn't do it. Rex died. I'm sorry. Grunt's better, by the way.
I was like, Toy Story will never be the same.
Grunt's better. Grunt's better. Played some Apex, of course, with you guys, Crow and Lupo, as you said. Watching wise, Bad Batch. Been watching Bad Batch. Oh, and the news today about Star Wars with Dave Filoni now being the executive creative director. I just want to dance. Can I do a dad dance? I want to do a dad dance. I really do. Okay.
Let me turn around real fast.
You better be keeping yourself honest.
I'll spare you guys. Yeah, I'll spare you. But yeah, super excited because could the Filoni verse be happening? I mean, it could potentially be happening. Now he's the creative director and the lead for all of Lucasfilm, like all the movies, everything's going to have to go through him. So I'm like, dude, I'm so freaking stoked. Ah, I can't wait. But yeah, that's about it. And I got 17 seconds to spare. So good job, everyone.
Cheated. You can watch the timer.
I know. Yeah. I can watch the timer. I need to figure out a way to, like, maybe I should give cues. Maybe I should tell y'all like 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
No, I like the suspense.
You like the suspense? Yeah. So let's start this episode off with a topic that I think was really good. Dark Life, who helps man our social media, does questions of the day on Twitter. And this was a really good question. And I thought, man, we need to talk about it on the podcast. And, you know, with the whole thing
answered on Twitter, but I did have a good topic that I want to talk about.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically his question is this: would you rather have games include all the content as intended and be priced around 80 or more, or keep them at 60 and continue with the current DLC and extra pay for content model? So what do you guys think? And part of what spurred this question was the whole thing with PlayStation having the $70 games and the lawsuit that's being filed against
them. I'm fine with the way it is. I mean, I've always been in the same boat as you: buy the game, and if you want the additional content, you pay as you want to play it. I know sometimes over the past 2 years, it's been like, well, they're cutting out part of the game and making money off that. In some cases, it feels that way. In some cases, it doesn't. The content feels extremely separate and extremely good. There's some games where it almost feels like a separate game in itself as a DLC. So I'm still in the boat of pay the same price and buy the DLC as you wish for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that there. I think that it's not as easy as saying we're just going to add, or we're just going to release a game with everything included, because sometimes not everything is done. Sometimes, and on purpose, they do it that way on purpose. I know that Thad is speaking specifically. His example in his brain is Witcher 3's Blood and Wine, which is a tremendous DLC that if somebody could buy it by itself, separate from Witcher, I would tell them to. I mean, and so, somebody can buy Witcher and have a phenomenal experience separate from that. Now, not every DLC is as good as Blood and Wine, but I think that if somebody's already going to invest $60 into a game, they know what they're investing in, and they're either happily going to get DLC and not complain, or they're going to choose not to get the DLC and still have had a good time. There's games that I've loved that I've said to myself, I'm going to pass on the DLC, but I've still enjoyed the main campaign and it didn't feel like a waste of $60.
Yeah. I have this argument quite often. And honestly, like, games at base should be well over $80 now, before DLCs even hit. And I don't like the idea. Maybe it's me being naive. I don't like the idea of cutting content to make DLC. I think there is things where stuff is planned out like ahead of time. Right. Like Destiny 1 did that, where they had like a set cadence of what they were going to offer in the first year. So I do get that, but I hate thinking that it's nefarious. I understand like everyone's out to make a profit, but what we're getting for a game right now should be much higher if you just go by just base inflation. Games haven't risen in price in 30 years. Like right. base games have been $60 since the 90s. So I that's just me like thinking realistically about it.
That's been 30 years.
Yeah. And,
you know, I think with the new trend, I'll call it a trend of remastering games and having them release at $60 for free games and all the stuff that comes with it. I think that there's just new ways that developers are making money, and I think raising their prices. Well, I agree with Lupo. I think games, just based on their technology, probably are worth that much. And I think the fact that they're leaving it at $60 is a business tactic that is so far, maybe not our the
market,
heads, but it's
the market. Yeah. People won't pay it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you keep it at 60, there's a million other ways that they're going to make that money back, whether their game is, so should be $80 or not.
Yeah. And that's the way I see it. Like, over the last year, I've been a little bit better because of like COVID and everything, just not having the money and everything to buy. So I've been a little more stingy trying to be. And there definitely been some things where I'm like, okay, I wasn't a big fan of this and I didn't buy any DLC for it, but it was still like $60. I'm like, okay, I got my money's worth. I'll at least do that. Like any game, even if I don't like it, I'm going to try and at least do the, what I try to do is like the 60 hour thing. So it's like $1 an hour. So at least I'm getting some money's worth out of it. But there's been times where it's like, okay, didn't really like this, and I'm glad I didn't have to pay too much more than that. So if you had all the DLC, yes, you're going to have all that content, but it's obviously going to be a lot more. Because think about it, like, just Destiny, let's just say Destiny 1 base game, like, if you bought, if they were to adjust the price scale for how much the DLCs cost, it'd be like $120.
Yeah.
For how much content you really got. So then you're going to have the issue of, okay, this game's going to have, imagine, say, like, we'll just use Destiny again. Destiny 1, say, it's $120. But then you got something like Outriders that's not going to have, like, really any DLC. And then that's $60. Like, you got two games, like, who's going to buy what? Are you going to buy, if you're on a budget, like, you're going to buy the $60. Now, you're not going to spend $120. Yes, you're going to get more content, but you can replay stuff. Then it makes the whole balancing of, like, oh, do you buy the cheaper thing, or do you buy the more expensive that you're actually going to get more? Just, it's the same thing in any market.
Sure. And it's, with that being said, it's not black and white. And, you know, there's a million factors with things like Game Pass.
Yeah.
Happening. These companies have to make a profit, and if keeping it at 60 is going to lead to more of a profit than making it 80, then why would they change it?
Yeah. And then you run into the thing of like, okay, well, say it's a battle royale. There's not a whole lot of content wise in those games. Then would people be mad about them being $60, or do they like, oh, these need to be like $20?
Here's my thinking is that I think they're testing the market right now. I think that's what PlayStation's doing. I think they're really just really testing the market to see if people will pay $70 for gaming, because honestly, I think developers make more money pricing it at 60 and doing all their little add-ons, because and this is just me kind of reverse thinking it. I think if you say, hey, this game is $70 or $80 and it includes all the DLC, or even $100 and it includes all the DLC, and someone buys it and they're like, man, this game sucks, I should have just bought it and not all the DLC, why did I spend $100 on this? I think it's going to hurt developers if they do that, because then
need to be doing what they've been doing the last few years on a lot of games, is like when a thing comes out that has planned DLCs, they're like, hey, you can buy the $60 game or pay $20 extra and you get all of the planned DLCs.
Here's the thing I was saying, though, is that like if you basically put it all in one package and say it's $80 or $100, people are not going to be as open to trying new games or buying new games that they don't see first or at least get good reviews on. So what you're basically going to do is slow down your income stream, or you won't even, it'll impact it negatively. I think if you start off with like Destiny has gotten me so many times. Gotcha for a dollar. You know, they got me so many times. I've spent so much money on that game because it's something that's doable, like 56 bucks. I can do that, you know, things like that. And it's kind of like Dark and Robbie were saying, is that you want to try it out. You want to try the game out first, and maybe you don't want to spend 100 bucks, but 60 is easier for you. And you know, there's upcoming DLC, and if you like it, then you'll buy it. Yep. So, and then you have in-game transactions, things like that. Because I think if you hit it at like 80 or 100, and people are like, this skin costs 20 bucks, I ain't spending money on that. Like, I just spent 100 bucks on this game.
Well, of a few people in chat, Full Turbo and the dad, definitely, and even HR Bomber are mentioning really pertinent topics like bundles that get offered, like deluxe bundles. I've purchased deluxe bundles, and when you do the math, mm-hmm. it seems like a lot at once, but then you're like, oh, if I spend $100 now, I'm going to save like 40 bucks because I'm not going to be paying, you know, a la carte. Yeah. So I think that it's way more complicated than like, you know, should it be 80 or should it be 60? Because I think there's so many different moving parts to how things are priced out. So it's a complicated topic, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I also think that, like, you know, we're specifically talking about PlayStation here, and they're talking about bumping their base games to $70. You know, it's a $10 increase. So personally, what I think they're doing is seeing if people are willing to spend money on the third party titles, because people are going to spend the money on the first party titles. And yeah. I think that's what they're doing. They're cornering their own market and saying, we don't care about these third party titles. We're going to make all the money back on our first party titles, which they're making more profit on anyway. So I think they just make a really aggressive move to not worry about the third party, because not for nothing, Xbox has a third party locked between all of the advantages. Like, they don't have everything on Game Pass, but they have a large portion of games on Game Pass. You know, there's so many partnerships, and it's just making third party gaming that much more difficult for PlayStation to have an advantage over. So I think they're doing this as a test to say, is it worth us, you know, continuing to curate those partnerships and have it be a full price, you know, a $70 price tag on it.
Sure.
Is it worth it? Yeah. See you work it.
I don't know. We'll see. What do you guys in chat? Make sure you comment on the video or whatever, and let us know what you thought about that.
Yeah.
And also, don't forget to like and subscribe.
Like, subscribe. Yeah,
so
hit the bell notification.
Getting into our next topic, I wanted to bring up that I talked about it earlier, that I played the PSO2 NGS beta this last weekend. Lupo jumped in there as well. Even got Underdog a code for it. He got like an hour in. Kind of felt bad. But anyway, this is the next installment for the Phantasy Star universe. It's actually going to be an add-on to the existing PSO2. Not DLC, but not a full game. It's kind of interesting. But we got to play the demo or beta this weekend. It definitely seemed limited, but I think that's because, like, for Lupo and Nut can kind of chime in on this. Like, when we played the original beta for PSO2, like, you're literally playing the full game, and like, they had a couple of years of content even available in the first beta.
I just because I think there was so much available, like, they could just basically cherry pick like some of like the like a wide scope of different things. You know, New Genesis is basically all new for everybody, whether you know, whether in Japan, America, anywhere across the world, it's all brand new content. Like, they've never had open world content before, so
they didn't have 9 years or 8 years of content to kind of and testing to throw out there at us. Like, they're throwing this brand new.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, I kind of want to talk a little bit about like the new systems that they've got that I really enjoyed. One thing that I really enjoyed is they've definitely, since it was the beta, they definitely shrinked like the skill trees and stuff. I'm sure they're going to be much larger, because they only had like, you could unlock, I think, 7 skill points in the whole, like, for the whole skill tree, which I'm sure is way more. There's going to be got to be way more than that because, yeah, we're missing a whole lot of stuff. But they definitely simplified some things, made things a little easier than the original game. A lot, every class kind of has like a signature weapon and then they're like a signature skill that they used. In the original game, it was a lot harder to use them. They've definitely simplified it to where they kind of just flow into the natural combat. For example, like one of the classes uses twin machine guns, and you would use this skill that would allow you to chain shots on them. The original game, you had to apply the buff, and then you had to hit the exact spot every time. Now, with this one, it's just like it's on a timer more, and depending on how many chain shots you get and how well you do depends on how quick the cooldown is. So you're just trying to get that timing off, and it seems a lot more interesting. Also, we did this really cool thing where we actually got to do a new urgent quest. Well, the first urgent quest for this. Urgent quests in this game are like multiplayer, like massive boss basses, multiplayer boss
bass?
Battles.
It's bass fishing.
Well, it's bass. It's badass. But anyway, like previous game, the most people you could get in was 12. This one has 32 players.
Dang.
So you got 32 players all running around trying to fight this boss. I think, do we have the photo up?
Yeah, I'll throw it up
for
you.
Like, this boss is, like, he's massive. He's probably, like, 30 feet tall, and he's constantly, like, throwing these missile things at you in different phases, and it was just crazy. Obviously, we're all low level. Like, the highest level that I got to, I think, was 11. And, like, he would two-shot you if you weren't careful.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And you had 30 minutes to do it. The closest I ever got to running out was we got down to 9 minutes left. And I was just sitting there like, ooh, I was puckering. But, yeah, like, it's really cool. Like, I'm really enjoying it. I can't wait for the full game next month to see what they're going to add. I did end up playing all the classes, Lupo. I did try them all out.
I knew you were.
And I saw what you felt with the fighter. Like, fighter in the original game was a very slow, like, kind of just bob and weave and punch. Like, that's, like, kind of all they did. And then ground pound with their fist. They've definitely made it a lot more mobile. They've made it more like the class that I like. So I might be trying that one out a little bit more when the full game launches.
Yeah, I like, me personally, like, I feel like it was just a much more fluid from the original iteration. And like you said, like, I wanted to be away from everything originally because, like, you know, I'm in space. I want to do cool things with guns. You know, that's kind of like the aesthetic that I have in my head is, like, we do future things or do sci-fi things. You're shooting guns. But, dude, when I threw the knuckles on, they're, like, basically, like, metal, like, you know, mechanical boxing gloves. Dude, I just was just punching everything. And then I showed Crow the ground pound, and he was just like, wait, what are you talking about? I was like, yeah, when you do this, you can do the ground pound. He's like, I didn't know you could do a ground pound. It was just, like, we're ground pounding everything for, like, the next 15 minutes after that. It was so much fun.
Yeah, we found out every class game. So I'm, like, running around with, like, a freaking, like, magic staff just ground pounding.
But it's like it's crazy to see how, like, the rest of the industry just caused the game to evolve, and it's even crazier that, like, Warframe came out the same time. They just started evolving much earlier than PSO2, and they've taken a lot of influence from Warframe on this one, and it's all for the better, all for the better.
Do you have a question, Thaddeus?
I was making a comment about 15 minutes of pounding, but. Yeah, it flew over my head.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Oh. Well, I'll just use that to transition into the next topic.
Yeah.
It's not quite a 32-player game, but it is co-op. And if you're a fan of Diablo and Cyberpunk-themed mashed together with large explosions and RPG elements at the wazoo,
large
The
explosions.
Ascent is looking to be a game that I am definitely interested in. And we got an announcement recently that it's coming out July 29th. It's coming to Game Pass on Xbox and PC. And they have a trailer.
Don't trailer come out that amazing. Time. That means the NGS is going to come out right at the same time.
I'm hoping to be done with the trilogy of Mass Effect by then, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this trailer we're about to show has some language in it, so cover your ears or cover the little one's ears or, you know, embrace it all the way. But it's intense. It gets you excited.
Here we go.
To all indents entering Cluster 13, behave, or I'll have you fucking recycled.
You have shown an aptitude for applying lethal solutions to conflicted situations. We wish to test your abilities by giving you a special assignment. Success, and you'll be given a chance at earning your freedom.
Guys, what do you think? What do you think? That was pretty intense, right?
Explosions! Yes.
I think it takes a lot of boxes for me. Like, I saw this a few weeks ago when Thaddeus first brought it up, and the one, I love the particle effects and like the colors and like the gameplay of it. I hope it moves a little bit faster.
That's the exact thing I was thinking about. Like, it seems a little bit slow. Like, I don't want to take 5 minutes to walk across the arena area.
Well,
I'll play Mass Effect.
Right.
I was thinking about that too. And then Jez from Windows Central kind of posted a semi-spoiler review, not a full detailed one. And he said this is the RPG game he's always wanted. And not only was the environment beautiful, the gameplay, the gunplay, he said it was slow at the beginning, but it's all story development. Once that starts ramping up, it's just tons of fun and chaos and RPG, min-maxing character builds and just tons of fun. So that I can't wait for. I love that in Diablo, just chaos and, you know, just wrecking things and, but to do that in a cyberpunk environment,
yeah,
it really... As Mule used to say, tickles my jimmies.
One that rustles jimmies.
Or rustles
jimmies. I like them both.
Either way.
I like them both.
Yeah.
Jimmies.
So is this going to be cross play or nah?
Ooh.
That'll be a good thing to check out.
That is.
Ooh, yeah. We need a follow-up.
Someone Google it. We need a Google.
Have to follow for sure.
But Game Pass PC also, you said?
Yeah. It'll be a... It's on Game Pass and does launch on PC too. I think it's on the Ultimate.
If it is, then it probably is going to be crossplay.
That would be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would give that one a shot. I don't really like those like third person over the shoulder. Is that the right?
Yeah.
Top down.
Isometric.
Top down. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm not really a big fan of that style, but I love cyberpunk aesthetic. I know that's shocking to everybody. Definitely looks. Like something I would at least give a shot.
That's because you want mechanical appendages.
Yes, I had to talk about that with my boss the other day, and he was like, "Okay." Very small anecdote. I explained that I couldn't get it in Cyberpunk, and then very small. and then I then further explained to him that iGame gave it to me via Anarchy, and my boss was like, "I don't know what that means, but I'm really happy for you." So
confirmed. There will be crossplay between Xbox and Microsoft PC versions. Xbox Play Anywhere.
Nice. That's awesome. So
Play Anywhere with Game Pass means it's going to be on GPU. So that's awesome on PC.
Yeah, cool. That's great. Mm-hmm.
I'll probably play about 7 to 10 hours of it. I try to dabble in so many things. Like, I want to play everything and like play it to the completions, but then like there's too much.
What if it's something you can play to completion and add it to your list?
That's possible. It seems like a grindy game, not like a complete the story and be done.
Oh, yeah, wow. All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of crossplay.
Wait, what? Crossplay? More crossplay?
Speaking of crossplay, yeah, if we want to get to our next topic, I just wanted to bring up a little anecdote. We're going to be talking a little bit about Destiny. That's kind of Lupo's thing for tonight. But they did mention in the TWAB today, they were talking about like how at the beginning of the season, they're actually accidentally enabled crossplay between all the consoles, all the systems for D2.
Whoopsie.
And they were saying like, yeah, we're going to have to take this out just because we didn't want this to happen yet. And in the TWAB today, they're like, yeah, yada yada yada, but for the we're gonna run a little crossplay beta over the next week. So next week, starting on 25th, I believe.
Yes, it's for Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, so next weekend they're gonna be doing a little beta where there's gonna be a specific playlist, strike playlist. You're gonna be able to do crossplay, and if you do. I think you need to do 3 strikes, and you're going to get a fun little emblem. But I think that's cool that they're like, hey, yeah, we didn't mean to do this, but hey, let's just run a little beta to test it.
Strike.
So
I don't want to take away from the gloriousness that could be crossplay in Destiny, but I think Lupo has a pretty big topic.
That's coming next week, but the next big thing in Destiny is coming this weekend, and that's the return of the Vault of Glass raid, which is Destiny's first original raid.
Yep.
So this weekend at 1 p.m. Eastern time, because we do everything in Eastern time around here.
We sure do.
No, we're going to experience Destiny's original raid in Destiny 2. So there's going to be some changes. Like, we've already seen some leaked information about different nuance to it to make it fit Destiny 2 a little bit more. You know, I think builds and damage scaling is a little bit different Destiny 2 to Destiny 1.
Yeah. Maybe some turkeys.
Yeah, big turkeys. But it is going to be a race, and I know that, like, why are we going to have a world's first race? Because everyone's already done this. They kind of know everything that's going on. So what they're doing to combat that is obviously contest mode's going to be on, and contest is just a way to level the playing field as much as they possibly can. Like, so there's no over-leveling. You're capped at like one particular power level. So what they're going to do is that you have to finish the raid on contest, and then you have to complete the raid with all the challenges afterwards, every single challenge. So there's a challenge for every single encounter in the raid, like there was in Age of Triumph, but I think these are slightly different from what they were in D1. So you have to complete the raid, it unlocks the challenge mode, and then you complete the raid with the challenge mode. And then whoever does that first will be granted world's first for this time around. And then that'll get you some sweet sweet emblems. And same thing like last time, you can earn a jacket and a ring this time around. And I think the jacket's pretty sweet. I think I'm going to order it this time.
Nice. Yeah, it's really cool. I know that I do believe Lupo, myself, and Crow are one half of the team. Yep. And we are all VOG veterans. And I'm, you know, I know that there's going to be some changes, but I super duper, I love VOG. It still holds up as my favorite raid. And I'm glad that I'm going to be doing it with you guys, because we raid very often. And the sports that I care about the most are not on right now, so it worked out. It's going to be great fun.
Yep.
And one of the things that I'm looking forward to is one of the six of us has not ever done VOG before, so we do have a first timer.
Who's not there?
iGame.
Yeah.
What?
iGame. He's never played Destiny 1.
The Destiny 2 YouTuber?
Yeah,
he's never played Destiny 1.
For you guys who don't know, yeah, our friend iGame, who makes amazing Destiny 2 content on YouTube, never played Destiny 1. And,
what the heck? I'm going to give him a hard time about that.
Don't give him a hard time. Let him
enjoy it. The Sherpa of all Sherps.
And so we are going to run him through Well, not run him through. We're going to run through together, but we are going to show him the ropes of Vogue. I
maybe have him teach us.
Prepare for the jumping. I hope he's prepared for the Gorgons and quote unquote. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's hard for me to get excited about Destiny these days, but I've been looking forward to Vogue since they announced it.
You know, speaking of that, I will add that I am excited that Vogue is coming back for all those that are still playing Destiny. My fondest memories of gaming is some of my earliest memories is Destiny 1, Vault of Glass, many sleepy Raider nights. It was such good times, and that raid is still my favorite to this day. I'm 18 months sober of Destiny, but I still root for all you guys that are reliving the past in Vogue 2.0.
I think the last time I played Destiny with Thaddeus was a Vault of Glass in D1. Yeah,
probably.
That's funny.
Probably.
Going into this, I was thinking, yeah, I think the only person in the raid in our team that I've done Vault of Glass with is Lupo.
I don't think I wasn't really playing with you guys in Destiny, so I certainly haven't.
Not Destiny 1.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Vogue is an old-time favorite, but I think that an old-time favorite of old-time favorites that we should probably spend the rest of time talking about might be Mass Effect. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but it might be Mass Effect.
Mass Effect! Yes. Mass Effect. Let's do some reviews. Let's do it. We've all pretty much gotten pretty far into Mass Effect 1, at least, to at least talk about it. I mean, Prime, maybe not, because he likes to, like, look for every little...
Rush. Yeah, that's me.
When you say not rush, you mean look at your inventory for an hour.
Are you kidding me? Like at least like a half hour, especially when you're into like the levels, like the level 5 weapons and stuff like that. Once you're like level 5 and above, you're getting them like every time you open something, you get like 10 more weapons.
RPGs. Sorry, bro.
I mean, I do too. I don't have to look at my inventory for an hour. I mean, they have these things called stat screens you can look
at. You also play it on easy, so.
No, I did not play on normal. Thank you very much.
I will take the mantle for the casual player, and I still struggle. That is why I play on casual. I'm there for the story. I'm there for the screenshots. I'm there for my blue wife.
I'm playing on hardcore, and I'm honestly underwhelmed by hardcore.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a lot more hardcore. The way that the level scaling works now in Legendary, you have all of your stuff maxed out before you get halfway through the game.
I was like, is this already happening? Holy crap.
Yeah.
I was like, you want Master Sabotage? I can Master Sabotage everything. Bam, bam, bam. Mm-hmm. Everything's dead.
Right. I know enough about Mass Effect 1 and seen enough videos from back in the day. We can talk about the whole thing, but I guess I'll start out and say I'm loving it. The three or four times that I've been able to sink into it hard.
It's one of those podcasts tonight.
Are you talking about Liara or what are you talking about right now?
Yes, and the game. Okay. The remaster visuals are amazing. But for me, it's the first time actually playing the game legit and experiencing the very beginning of the Mass Effect trilogy, the saga, the epicness of basically working at a movie type story. It's been great. I have to work the next morning. I'm like, but this is so good. I have to do the next thing.
Yes.
I have to have that conversation. I have to have the conversation with the whole crew because I just did the mission. I have to start that romance on two different ladies. And now I'm going to dump one. The other one, I'm not going to dump at all.
Wait, which two ladies? I got to know. I got to know.
You only romance three people in Mass Effect 1.
In Mass Effect 1, you can only romance
Ashley's three not going to make it very long. I'm just going to say that. We are going all the way. So,
I already got her. So you may want to consider Ashley. I'm just saying she's already taken.
It's going to be a whole new bag.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Thaddeus is on the lover and leaver train, you know, like I'm going to romance Ashley, then leave her for dead on Vermeier.
Yeah.
Terrible.
See ya.
See ya.
Hey, Maria.
Oh,
but yeah, it's been a great experience. And all the hype that I had leading up to it, it's all been on par.
I'm really happy to hear you say that, dude, because Lupo and I certainly have been saying like Mass Effect 1 is such a good story, and I've played it twice before, but it had been at least 5 years since I played it, at least, maybe even more than that. And running back through Mass Effect, just Mass Effect, the first game, was a true joy. And yes, like everybody knows, I love Liara. She's very important to me, not just as a romance, but like, you know, in terms of her just personality and everything. I love Liara, but there were things that I did in this game for the first time that I didn't do the first time I played it, just because I didn't have the DLC or whatever. But I was able to make choices differently in this game because I knew more about the game. And even though like I had played the game, it still felt like I was playing it for the first time. And that was one of the things that I was kind of worried about, was like, am I ever going to get that feeling back of, oh my gosh, what an amazing game, like that play it for the first time feeling. Obviously not, but the way specifically in Mass Effect 1 that the remaster like hit, it felt like it almost felt like the first time again. Just that first scene.
Like a virgin.
Yeah, like a very first time. So that first scene, no, the minimal spoilers, but when you're on Eden Prime and Sovereign lifts into the sky and like the sun is shining.
Yes.
And, yeah. I mean, I was just like, this is Mass Effect. This is Mass Effect. Like I cried one time in Mass Effect. I have finished Mass Effect. I've moved on to Mass Effect 2. I did not do. And for those of you who are like, what are you talking about? I will fully admit I did not 100% everything. I got to a point where I was like, I got to go to Mass Effect 2. Miranda's waiting for me. I cannot. I can't do any more of this slow running like across planets. I'm done. So, but there was one time towards the end, and it was like not a very sentimental moment, but I got very emotional, and I was like, this is truly just a phenomenal experience. Very well done, BioWare. I cannot say it enough how beautiful Mass Effect looked. It was amazing.
Yeah, I will say, like, I got the feels playing it again, because it's just that first opening scene, you know, where he's staring out the window and it's talking about Shepard, and you see Earth, and you're about to get caught up in this huge big adventure again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, I did not 100% everything, but I did probably about 85% of everything, just because I didn't want to go to every stinking planet just to find every little codex, because I played it so many times before.
Sure.
And I had to get to Mass Effect 2 because I do like the first one. I think they did like a fantastic job on the upgrades and the visuals and things like that. But still, it's limited by the ME1 mechanics. Like, it's good enough now that it holds up for games today that you want to play, because like the OG players, you'll know how bad it was. It was so clunky. It's so clunky.
Yeah.
But I like you, Rad, I couldn't wait to get into 2, because I mean, story wise, I think 1's one of my favorites, but 2, just the improvements everything they made in clicked. Everything was so much better. Using like mapping my other guy's abilities and things like that, because I play with a controller when I play on PC.
Yeah, me too.
It was just so good, man. And I think if I had to give it a rating, I would say the remaster in Mass Effect 1, I'm going to say probably a 9.4 for me.
Yeah, I don't give it anything lower than a 9. I don't even know what I'd give it a 9.4, except that I rarely give anything a 10. So, yeah. I'm curious to hear what Lupo has to say, just because I know how much this series means to him.
So, I was talking about it with Turbo on Twitter. I've had more bugs in Mass Effect 1 on PC on the remaster than I had in any Mass Effect playthrough of any game that I've ever played.
Really? What kind of bugs?
I had multiple instances where enemies got locked into a place where you couldn't interact with them or shoot them. So I had to like go back saves and like restart encounters and stuff like that a couple times. I had one where I forget where, like what he was doing, but I had like an instance where Caden was on one leg, like half running, and then he just moved all over the screen. It was just like, here, there, just like zipping back and forth on the screen. So that was, it was kind of interesting, but a lot of like little bugs like that where, and every single one of them I had to like revert the save, like no more than 10 minutes.
Have you had the one where Shepard is just Naruto running all over the place?
No, that I haven't had.
I've seen that one where he's just like arms back. Just anytime you move around, just arms are just straight back.
Like an anime run?
Yep.
Called Naruto run, bruh.
But there's a lot of things, like I said before, I things I didn't realize in there that I'm like really digging deeper in to look at. Bring Down the Sky is much better than I think a lot of people give it credit for. Mm-hmm. It was really fantastic. And if you're playing the game for like a completion standpoint, that whole Asteroid X-57 area gives you so many high quality upgrades, like in the game. It's like you should go do that first. Like just go do that first. You're gonna get
one of the first ones I did
like right away.
That was one of the things I had started Bring Down the Sky in original Mass Effect 1, I think on my second playthrough. And because of just how clunky everything was, I could not get past the proximity mines. I could not figure it out. Yeah. And this time I was finally, I think I died like three times and I was like, I will not give up on this damn asteroid again. So I finally made it through, but I was really happy about it. I was like, holy cow, that was something I've never done before. So that's definitely one of my highlights of the remaster, is just being able to do stuff I've never done. Mass Effect 2 has been wild. There's things in that game like, I didn't even know this existed. Phenomenal. Sorry, Lupo, cut you off.
But just like combat just feels much more fluid. Like there was a lot of times where I died in my original playthroughs just because of circumstance. And this, like you can position much easier and, get good shots. I did feel like a lot of enemies regenerated health a lot more, which I don't remember the first couple of times I played it.
Dang Krogans, man.
Well, no,
the
do.
Krogans, the Rachnis, they're all regenerating health. And I'm just like,
and
what
the freaking
the hell is
toxic stuff that you run into. I forgot about that in the first
game. With the Thorian? Because
yes,
the Thorian.
I use so much Metagill.
The Thorian dropping to the floor is one of the greatest scenes in video game history. Don't ever have to deal with it ever again.
Suck it!
Yeah.
Finally!
I have a theory.
I missed some critical things, like because Mule said, like, I don't need to know about the Protheans because I know everything about the Protheans already. And then, of course, that's one of the stupid achievements that you have to fill out your codex. And I didn't freaking do that in the first 5 minutes of the game. It's the only time you can do it. So now I have to do a whole playthrough to 100% that particular part of the game.
Dang.
So, frustrated. No, but then, like, then this one's for Insanity. So I'll go back and do Insanity at some point and do everything on Insanity.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it. I would not give it like ultimately high numbers. Like I'm a little like high standard when it comes to that. Like I would say I give it high eights.
Respectable. Before we get to Mule's crap, I mean hot take.
Hey, wait a second. I just want to be on record saying I called what everyone was saying about the new Mass Effect and where it was going to be set. I just want to say on the record that I called it.
Well, before you do that, because I want to hear what it is, I do just want to take a second, because it's on the notes, to acknowledge that a couple days ago, the concurrent amount of people playing Mass Effect was at an all-time high, which is absolutely wild. I don't necessarily know if I'm surprised. I think that makes sense. There's probably more people playing it now than there were before, but I think that's just a testament to just how, pun intended, like legendary this game is. And literally, something that I heard that was really cool, last Saturday, there was like, I don't know, 20 plus members of the cast, for Mass Effect and some of the development team did a live panel again. And one of the developers, and writers was saying that their kids are now playing the game for the first time. And that's a beautiful thing. She did say that her kids are too young to do the romancing. But they are playing it and enjoying it very much. So I did just want to make sure we share that bit of news, because if you're a longtime Mass Effect fan, that's an amazing number.
Heck yeah.
Or I didn't have a number, but that's an amazing piece of info.
I think mostly because, and I won't cut you off again, Mule, I promise.
It's fine.
Mass Effect 1 came out 2007. Like I think like the worldwide coming out of gaming culture was in 2010. Like that's when gaming became so popularized.
Yeah.
And not because of Mass Effect 2. Honestly, I think if any game had this big of impact on the gaming scene in that year, it was Modern Warfare 2. But that's beyond the point. Like from 2010, like gaming has just like been on a straight up like peak this way, you know? And I think that's why more people are seeing games like this now. Like people haven't played these games because they're busy getting into like I wouldn't say that Mass Effect is like a gateway game. You know, it's not like Call of Duty that's relatively easy to get into or Fortnite brought a lot of people to the space, you know. So people that are new to the gaming space in the last 5 to 10 years, they're seeing this for the first time, you know. So I think that's why you're seeing that huge spike in peak concurrency.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Good point. All right, Mule, take us out.
Okay, I have to bring this up. And for everyone that hasn't played Mass Effect 2 and 3, yes, this will be spoilers. So it's an old game. If you haven't played it yet and you don't want spoilers, just fast forward for about a minute. So I was sitting here thinking, I was like, all right, Saren is this bad dude, right, that we don't like. And what he's trying to do almost sounds like one of the endings you can pick in Mass Effect 3. Like, was Saren trying to do what he should have been doing, what we should have been doing? And so we basically just ruined his plan and we should have assimilated.
So kind of, I think, but I do think that the whole point of the ending of Mass Effect 3, if you choose that ending, is that you are, no pun intended, like you're in control of your decision. And whereas I do think that Saren like heard what Sovereign was saying, but was taken advantage of. I think that he was truly indoctrinated. Whereas if you pick that ending, it's like I am choosing to do this in a way that promotes like, yeah, you are. Because that's the whole point of the ending, is that like you can choose whatever you want. So I think that you're right. But I think that it was more like he was indoctrinated fully, whereas when you choose to do it, because the ending in the extended cut shows that when you choose that ending, the Reapers then, this is a big spoiler, please stop listening. If you choose that ending, the Reapers then work with who's there, and they have a symbiotic relationship. Whereas if Saren was being indoctrinated, they were going to kill everybody anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that there's one real choice, and that's destroy. I mean...
Synthesize.
Because at the end, you get to see
a beautiful ending.
Shep's still alive.
Synthesize is the right ending.
Synthesize is a beautiful. Okay, listen. You can pick destroy if you want. I know that there's the cutscene, whatever. Synthesize is a beautiful ending. Please pick synthesize for one of your playthroughs and just allow it.
I do synthesize.
Ending. Yeah, try each ending. Synthesize is a beautiful ending.
I can't do it. Maybe I'll save it.
Yeah. Have you replayed the trilogy since the new ending?
When they added the DLC, so you can see Shep at the end. Yeah, yes. I mean that's what I'm talking about. You
gotta
Shep
synthesize, man. You gotta synthesize.
Synthesize is gorgeous. It really is. It really is.
I'm not a robot. Dude. I'm a human. Damn it.
Have you played Mass Effect 2? You're a little bit of a robot.
Yes. No, you just have cybernetic things to keep you together.
That's called being a little bit of a robot.
You're like Darth Maul, half man, half machine.
Yeah, robot.
Yeah, they're good.
I do like appendage. It though, Mule. I like what you're going. Yes,
it's just interesting.
That is so important. The mechanical appendage. A good idea though. I'm with you. I like it.
So wait, Mule, hold up one sec before we wrap things up here. You were starting to allude to future iterations here.
I mean, I was just saying earlier, I called it before they were saying they're talking about what they're going to do, how they're going to lead into it.
I am still salty that was right. I am not happy about it.
Where did this come out? I didn't see this.
Yeah, so Mule said, I think that if they're going to create another Mass Effect game, it's going to be a bridge between the original trilogy and Andromeda. And then here we are. Yeah,
I mean, that's a given.
Yeah, but like I wasn't so sure. Some of us, I don't think that even. I think Thad was like, yeah, they'll probably go back to Andromeda.
But Shepard shouldn't be in the game.
I think they're
going to canonically make the ending that Shepard's not there. And there's a lot of speculation, and I know we're going over in Darkest somewhere. Like, stop talking. But I think that a lot of people think that it's so far in the future, like Liara looks like a matriarch, so it's considerably in the future if she's a matriarch and things like that. So it, that as that information comes out, we will definitely be talking about it in the cast. So
yeah,
yes, we will.
Yeah. Yep. Well, any closing thoughts, guys? We are running a little longer than usual for the podcast. Cerberus,
I'm good. I'll set this up. I'm good. I've talked too much today.
I have one small thing. It will take 30 seconds. Back in 2018, I've said this many times, Ali Hillis. And the other day she was doing a live signing on Instagram. And when we met, she told me to like think of something clever to have her remember me by because we had a very nice conversation. And I said, okay, I'll be the girl who cried in Tampa. Because she wouldn't remember my name. She meets thousands of people. And so while she was doing her live signing, I wrote, hey, the girl who cried the girl who cried in Tampa is here. I hope you're doing well and blah, blah, blah. And she saw my message on her live stream and she said, oh my gosh, the girl who cried in Tampa, it's so good to see you. I remember you completely. I hope you're doing well. And I was just sobbing for like 3 hours. So
that's amazing.
I just wanted to let you know.
That is amazing.
It was very nice. And I hope that I have the opportunity to meet her again. She's a wonderful human. So cool. Thank you guys.
Right on. Awesome, guys. Well, if you like this podcast, make sure you visit MuleHornGaming.com about page to find more great podcasts like the Bindu podcast, where we talk all things Star Wars, which is going to be tomorrow night right here, 8:00, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you're looking for ways to support the podcast, check out our description below for our Epic Creator Code, Amazon Store, our Anchor support page, swag, and more. So much stuff down there. Just check it out. And if you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. Remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up!
Like and subscribe! Large explosions.
Oh, I got some large explosions.
I should go.